Let's turn to the book of Luke this morning. I've got a message that's not very expository. I'm not going to get into the scriptures today and dig down for some underlying truth, but I hope it's something that would make Christmas more meaningful to you this year. And Luke chapter 2, saw somebody had posted on Facebook, never thought of this, that there are 24 chapters in Luke, and if you start with day one, you missed a day already, but if you start and read a chapter of Luke a day, by the time you come to Christmas, you will have read the Gospel of Luke. There might be a challenge out there for you to do that. Just catch up with yesterday and read a chapter every day, and you'll get the story, the whole story of Jesus in that Gospel. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I've just entitled these remarks this morning, Putting More Christ in Christmas. How can we put more of Christ in Christmas and be reminded of him in different ways this season? And I don't know about you, but every time I read this simple story, it touches me in a simple way. And I just love these words. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And, you know, and the child that is born, it's God's son. And it's God come in human flesh so that he could relate to us. That talks about his divinity. But a son is given. He's the son of God. And that first of all, talks about his humanity. And then it talks about his divinity as he is the son of God. So I hope you read this more than once, this Christmas story this year. And just remember each time you read it, how God came to planet Earth. He didn't look away from us because of sin. He didn't neglect us because of our fallenness, but rather he knew we needed a Savior, and so he sent one. Remember this anonymous poem. It says, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest, and I like to put here my greatest, and you could put that for you too, my greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent a Savior. At Christmas time, we are reminded that God sent the best because that was the only way to meet our greatest need. God sent himself. And remember that God didn't just come 2,000 years ago and just walk away. But rather, God had this all planned out from the very dawn of time, from the very beginning. He knew that we would need a Savior. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin and that we would follow suit. And so God sent Jesus. From the very foundation of the world, it was His plan. And He had you in mind when He did that. He had you in mind when He conceived that plan. He had me in mind. But He doesn't just leave us anymore today either, because He has promised to always be with us. And He is through His Spirit. But the key to putting more of Christ in Christmas is not what happens in this room. It's not the Advent sermons that I'll preach. It's not the Christmas program. It's not a candlelight service. That is a tool to help us put more of Christ in Christmas. But the real key is that as we go through the Christmas rush and things get in full swing, as it already is, that we just allow the Christmas spirit to wash over us. And this morning I've gathered some objects, some Christmas scenery, some Christmas elements. And I want to challenge us today to use these things as memory aids. And whenever we see these things this year or we hear them, we will remember today's message and the part that applies to those particular items. The idea is that when you see or hear these things, you will say to yourself, oh, wait a minute, I remember Pastor talking about that. I remember what we talked about that Sunday. And you'll be on track then for keeping more of Christ in Christmas. Are you ready? The first thing is the nativity scene. And we've got one up here. And thanks to Lori Lamb, we have a beautiful one up here under the tree. Perhaps you have a nativity scene at your house. Perhaps your neighbors have one that's set up outside. You go around your neighborhood and you'll see nativity scenes. You'll see big ones, you'll see small ones. You might even go by some church and they have a living nativity outside. But whenever you see the nativity thing scene, I want you to realize that it is illustrating something that really happened in human history. The birth of Jesus is not a fable. It's not folklore. It's something that really happened. It is history. And maybe the thing that would help us with that is that Luke mentions a time, a certain time in history when Jesus was born. And he ties it to a historical figure. He said that the census that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem happened when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Cyrenius was a real person. He really lived. He was born in a town near Rome. He was a Roman soldier leading in several campaigns. He was a tutor to Caesar Augustus' grandson. He was a Roman senator. And after the banishment of Ethnarch Herod Archelaus from the territory of Judea, Quirinius was appointed to legislate as governor of Syria, to which the province of Judah had been added. So that's the reason there was a census that was taking place at this time. So Luke included this in his statement to remind us that the Christmas story is a real one. It is a historical fact. Our family visited the Holocaust Museum in D.C. on our first vacation there several years ago. I hope Josh doesn't mind me telling this, but security at the Holocaust Museum was tighter than any other place we had visited in D.C. Anybody ever been to the Holocaust Museum in D.C.? Okay. I don't know if security was tight then, but it was really tight because of all the events that had happened. We were there after September 11th and the tragedy there. But we all had our water bottles because when you go to D.C., you walk. You walk and you walk and you walk, you know. And so we had our water bottles with us. And I don't know how, we had, let's see, did we had, I don't know, just about everybody had one. And remember, Josh was pushing the stroller. where all the water bottles were, and everybody had opened their water bottle and had taken a drink, except for Josh. Josh's was the only bottle that was unopened and still full. We got to the Holocaust Museum. Debbie and I had already went in. Josh was still to go in, and they looked at him, and they said, "We need you to drink out of every opened bottle." You know, to make sure we weren't bringing something in that was not supposed to be there. Now, of all of our children, Josh was the most germ conscious. And we felt so sorry for him, and Debbie wanted to go back out and be the one to drink for all the bottles, but he had to do it. But I remember as we got into that Holocaust Museum, it just really is something that you can describe. You can't describe, and it breaks your heart in the things that you see there. And part of that museum was really for children, and you got these little shoes that you see, and our hearts went out to the people that suffered in the Holocaust. And no matter what people might try to say to you today, the Holocaust was an actual event. It really did happen. It is a true event. And museums like that are important because they proclaim to us that things like the Holocaust are not fiction, but they're real. Now, as you drive through your community in the next couple of weeks, and every time you see displays of elves and cutout props of the Grinch who stole Christmas, maybe even go see the new movie. In fact, we went and saw the Grinch, I'll confess. We went and saw it. I needed a day of relaxation. I ran into a couple families from church, and they said, "Oh, which movie are you going to go see?" I said, "We're going to go see a real spiritual movie. We're going to go see the Grinch." And we did, and it was a relaxing time, and I don't know why they needed a new Grinch movie, but it's out. And every time you see Santa and his sleigh and Frosty the Snowman and the obligatory nativity scenes, don't make the mistake that many people do. Don't lump it all together as mere Christian and Christmas folklore, because Frosty and the Grinch, as we all know, are just stories. But again, the nativity really happened. So whenever you see a nativity set, I want you to say to yourself, "This really happened." Say that. "This really happened." And then I want you to add to that sentence, I want you to say this, "And it happened for me." Can you say that? "And it happened for me." So this really happened, and it happened for me. Jesus took on human form. God lived on this planet in human flesh, and he lived for you, and he died on a Roman cross for you, and later he rose from the dead, and he did it all for you. I can promise you that if you just say that every time you see a nativity scene, Christmas will become more meaningful for you. You are putting Christ, you are keeping Christ in Christmas and putting him at the forefront. So that's the first memory aid. Every time you see a nativity scene, what are you going to say? "This really happened, and it happened for me." All right, good. The second thing is music. This is an important time because wherever you go today, you are exposed to music. You're exposed to the Christmas music. You're going to hear it on the radio. You're going to hear it in the malls. You're going to hear it in the stores. You're going to hear it in restaurants, elevators. People at work will have their own Pandora or iHeart Christmas stations playing. Some people play it in their front lawns to accompany their Christmas decorations. And much of it is beautiful, wonderful music. I look forward to playing Christmas music. I don't do it until after Thanksgiving, but I have a Christmas playlist on my phone. And we have Christmas CDs at our house. And sometimes we'll take those CDs, we'll bring them in our vehicle, and we will play those CDs as we drive down the road. But There are also some Christmas songs that are kind of far out there now. Have you ever heard of songs like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer? Santa Baby? I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Well, I don't really want one, but there are many songs like that. In fact, we have a collection. The kids like them, and I'm getting nothing for Christmas because I ain't been nothing but bad. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, and songs like that. And stores are going to play. They're going to play these peppy Christmas music all they can because. Somehow, you know, through marketing and things, they believe that if they have just this right sense of music, colors, and scents, it is going to make shoppers feel more positive about shopping, and therefore they will spend money. My children cannot wait for snow to fall because they know that when snow falls, I get it more in the Christmas spirit, and I feel more like shopping. So you can blame them probably for the snow we got. But you can hear all kinds of Christian music. You can let it remain in the background as noise, or maybe even something that you enjoy, or you can use it as a memory tool. And that's what I want you to do this year, to use it as a memory tool. Every time you hear any Christian music, even if it's, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas, think of the story we just read from Luke 2, and tether any song, good or bad, funny, silly, serious. Tie it to the song, the Christmas carol the angels sang the very first Christmas night. This is what the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Say that with me. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So whenever you hear Christmas music for the next weeks or so, say, wait a minute, I'm supposed to remember something. What is it I'm supposed to remember? Oh yeah, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In fact, whenever you hear Grandmom got ran over by a reindeer, or one of these other songs, you could substitute Gloria in Excelsis Deo. If you are in the elevator or if you are standing in line and you hear Christmas music and you begin just to whisper one of these Christmas carols from the Bible, you might look odd and people might wonder what's going on. But that would give you an opportunity to say, let me tell you what the angels sang about that first Christmas. It wasn't Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. It was glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It had nothing to do with hippos. It was glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So whenever you hear Christmas music, what's the carol you're going to think about? What's the words you're going to say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Told you it was a real spiritual sermon today. How about Christmas cards? Christmas cards. We all get them. Most of us send out Christmas cards. By the way, some statistics on this part of the Christmas celebration I just read this week. Every Christmas, 1.5 billion cards are sent in the United States. 45% of all cards sent all year long are Christmas cards. So almost one half. The most cards sent by a single person, if you think you've reached the record, you've got a ways to go, I'm sure. The most cards ever sent by one person, 62,824. I think that person has way too much time on their hands. By the way, I learned also this week that the custom of sending Christmas cards was started in the United Kingdom way back in 1843 by a man named Sir Henry Cole. He was a civil servant who had helped set up the post office and wondered how it could be used by ordinary people. So he came up with the idea of Christmas cards, and his friend John Horsley, who was an artist, helped. They designed the first card and sold them for 1 shilling each. That's about 8 cents today. The card had three panels. The outer two panels showed people caring for the poor, and in the center panel was a family having a large Christmas dinner. Some people didn't like the card, surprise, even then, because it showed a child being given a glass of wine. Then maybe rightly so, they didn't like that. But anyway, about 1,000 of these cards were printed and sold. Today, they are very rare, I can guarantee you that they are worth a lot more than 8 cents each. But here's the thing. You're going to have cards fill your mailboxes at home, your mailbox at church. You're going to get some cards. You're going to send some cards. You're going to send some cards out. And what I want to encourage you to do is when you have a card, you can, first of all, thank God that you have a friend that would send you a card. And thank God that you are on somebody's friendship list. And it's a beautiful connection thing. But whenever you get a card at home or at church, and you thank God for the person who sent it, remember this, that because you are a Christian, because you've opened up your heart to Jesus, you're on God's friendship list. Did you know that? You are on God's friendship list. Jesus said, I have called you friends. And Proverbs tells us that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's Jesus. You know, you think about your friends. They have, as much as they would probably want to spend more time with you, they have unlimited time. I mean, they have limited time, rather. They don't have unlimited time. They don't always have perfect listening skills or empathy or anything close to perfect counsel. I mean, they try, but we're all flawed. But when you are on God's friendship list, you are in a relationship with a flawless friend. He is the wonderful counselor. His love is love of another kind. It's never flawed. His love is never selfish. It's never self-serving. His listening skills are unparalleled. He's available 24 hours a day. His counsel is always wise and true. His power and his resources are infinite, and he calls you friend. I don't know about you, but that just kind of blows me away. Have you ever experienced the blessing of Almighty God's friendship? Have you ever felt the blessing of being God's personal concern? There are times, let's face it, in life when we feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel like we are drowning in grief. Sometimes we feel like we cannot shake the fear. Other times we face financial crisis. We face health issues. But whatever the case, God's hand is always on your shoulder. You can hear his still small voice speak peace that can wash over your soul. God never, ever leaves you alone. So whenever you get a Christmas card this Christmas season, say, oh, thank God. Thank you for the human friendship. Thank you, Lord, that I'm on somebody's friendship list. But before you put that card down, say, oh, and thanks for the greater miracle that through faith in Jesus Christ, God, I'm on your friendship list. Thank God that he's always there for you, okay? All right, so the next thing I want to mention, and the last thing, we could mention all kinds of things, I'm sure, but anybody got a piece of plastic in there? Got a credit card? Everybody got a credit card? I won't put that one up here because I might forget it. And then I'll go to Denny's tomorrow and try to pay for my bill, and I won't have my card with me. So, but I imagine some of you, many of you, are going to use a lot of your credit card this coming season. Perhaps you might wear them out, you know, just be used so much that you just rub the numbers right off. The edges get all worn down, and I'm not putting down that practice because I very rarely carry cash myself anymore. I just use my card. But you know, does anybody else ever do this? Do you ever start wondering how much you've spent already? I do that. I'm out shopping and I'm wondering, you know, because I don't use the checkbook anymore, I'm not tallying things up as I go. I'll wait till I get home and see what my balance is. But sometimes I wonder how much I've actually spent. And I don't know about you, but it always surprises me that I've spent more than I thought. It's like, I'm surprised that I have actually spent that much. Well, Christmas comes, Christmas goes, and then you get that bill in the mail, you get your credit card and it's going to be due. And you have to write out that check or you have to transfer funds to pay off that bill. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Here's what I want you to do this Christmas season. You make that credit card purchase and the clerk is processing the transaction. And you're waiting there to give your signature. Tell yourself something like this. My moral debt came due one day, and Christ paid it. And it hurt him. It was costly, but he did it anyway. And in this moment, I worship him for that. Whenever you use your credit card, remember that Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to pay your sin debt. And when you remember that, you thank him. Now, I don't know about you, but I think everybody in our family used to like that comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes. You remember Calvin and Hobbes in the newspaper, in the Sunday comics? There's one where Calvin's a little boy, and he's hurtling down a snowy slope on a sled with his friend Hobbes. Hobbes is his make-believe tiger, if you're not familiar with it. And they're having a discussion about sin. And here's the dialogue. Calvin said, I'm getting nervous about Christmas. Hobbes says, you're worried you haven't been good? Calvin says, that's the question. It's all relative. What's Santa's definition? How good do you have to be to qualify as good? I haven't killed anybody. That's good, right? I haven't committed any felonies. I didn't start any wars. Wouldn't you say I've been pretty good? Wouldn't you say I should get a lot of presents? Hobbes says this. Hobbes says, but maybe good is more than the absence of bad. Calvin says, see, that's what worries me. That tiger was pretty smart because in God's holy eyes, good is more than the absence of bad. The fact is we all do bad things. We all have that fallen sinful nature that we struggle with from time to time. But the thing is that Jesus came to die for that. He took our sins, he took our sinful state upon himself. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. So whenever you use that credit card this Christmas, remember that. Remember the price that Jesus paid to cleanse you and to purify you from all sin. Remember the pain that he endured in order to clothe you and I with his righteousness. Wouldn't it be a wonderful worship offering to God if every time we used our credit card, we turned it into a time of worship? Clerks at the counter would probably wonder, what in the world has gotten into you? You know, what is that person thankful for? Why is he smiling about this $300 purchase? Doesn't he know he's going to have to pay it off? But we are grateful to God because of what he has done. So let's just do a little review here this morning. You see a nativity scene. And what are you to say? Read it with me. That really happened in human history. And that happened for me. Can you remember that? Somewhat. You don't have to do it word for word. You hear Christmas music, whether it's Christian music or it's silly music, you hear Christian music. What do you say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I think if you say that, the angels themselves will join you in rejoicing. And then you use that piece of plastic, the card from first. You have a Christmas card. It's sent to you. It's in your box. What do you say? Thank God that through Christ, I'm on God's friendship list. You can also, if you want to preface that before by saying, by praying for the person that sent you the card and thanking God for them. And then the credit card.
What? I personalize that one usually. I see peace on earth, or glory to God in the highest, peace on the burdens and goodwill towards them.
Amen. 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 Nothing wrong with that. That's great. Turn it around and personalize it. Absolutely. Good point. And then the credit card. My moral debt came due one day, and Jesus paid it all, and it hurt him. So I worship him for doing that. Something like that. Now, do you think that's a good way to keep Christ in Christmas? I think it is. In anything that we do, and we could go on with gifts, because Jesus is the indescribable gift. How do you describe Jesus? There's no way you can describe him. But he is God's gift to us. And maybe you'll think of other things as you go through the Christmas season. Just start to begin to think, how can I use this to exalt Christ? How can I keep Christ more in Christmas? And he'll show you. There's one other way I want to do it today, and that is through the communion service. Because in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. At just the right time in history, God sent Jesus to this earth to be born and live a sinless life, born a virgin birth, live a sinless life, and then die for us so that our sins could be forgiven. We always have to remember that we cannot separate Christmas and Easter. They go together. Jesus came to die. That was his mission in life. That was his purpose. He came to die for you and for me. So if the guys are going to help us with communion today, if they'd come forward, and if you would begin just to prepare your hearts. The scripture says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So I would ask that you would examine your hearts today. Make sure that there is no unconfessed sin there. Your relationship with God is wide open. And then I invite you to partake of communion with us this morning. Father, we thank you that we can have communion today. We thank you that, Jesus, that you've made it possible. And as we think about your sacrifice today, Lord, we are so humbled, we are so moved that you would do this for each of us. And I truly believe that if there was only one of us, you would have still died for that one. And I'm so grateful. And I ask, Lord, that this whole Christmas season would be meaningful to us in more ways than it has in the past. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take these words today and by your Holy Spirit that you would remind us as we celebrate this season and as we see a nativity and as we receive a Christmas card and as we listen to Christmas music and as we pay for our purchases, that we would turn those things into worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask you, if you're able to come and get the emblems today, if you are not able to do so, guys will make sure that you get served.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. And everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lord, lead me. Lead me to the cross. You were as I, tempted and tried. Human, the Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me. Lead me to the cross. To your heart. To your heart. Lead me to your to your heart. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out, and bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. And rid me of myself, I belong to you, Lord, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Amen. That's what it's all about. We go to the cross where God's love was poured out. And God purchased us with his own blood. It was the blood of God that purchased us, purchased our salvation. What a great, great price was paid. But it all began in the mind of God before there was ever a world, before Adam had sinned, before any of that, God had put the plan into motion. And then he carried it out through Jesus. And we today celebrate his birth and his coming. And we look forward to his coming again, the second coming of Christ. And in between there, we live in this period of time. We know as the church age, where we rely so heavily upon him to help us live life. But I'm so glad that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no big shots, there's no little shots, we're all equal. We all are in need of a Savior. We all need Jesus. And we come and we kneel at the cross, and there we find forgiveness. And we also receive another gift. It's the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave, there is the great gift, his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Scripture also says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you just thank God for his perfect, indescribable gift? And that's what we remember today. As Paul said, for I've received of the Lord, I received this revelation from the Lord. He taught me this. The night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Jesus said, I'm going to give you an object lesson. I'm going to take bread. I'm going to break it. This represents my body which is broken for you. Pastor Josh, would you ask the blessing upon this cracker representing our Lord's body?
Jesus, I do thank you. Yeah. that have any spiritual need here today, whether it's emotional, physical, whatever needs that we have spiritually, that they would come partake of you today.
Yes, Lord.
That they would be filled with the bread of life to the point of never hungry again. We thank you for your gift. We thank you for your body and the sacrifice that you gave on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bearing my sins in your body on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do it as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed, because we know that without the shedding of your blood, we would not be forgiven today. But you have forgiven us, and you've cleansed us, and you've washed away all trace of sin. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, that you shed it for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And may God bless you and keep you, and hope that you can stay and fellowship with us in the multipurpose room. You are dismissed.